You're listening to The Story. 6 years ago, a ferocious tsunami caused by an earthquake in the Indian Ocean killed somewhere around 230,000 people. Larry Whitlow survived that tsunami. For him, it all began quite innocently. Larry's wife, Patty, had settled herself on a large island off the coast of Thailand. He'd planned a kayak trip, traveling and spearfishing his way along the coast.
I had rented a little bungalow in a small cove nestled in cliffs. I'd paddled out from this little cove and found a place, sort of a nook up on the rocks where I could put my boat up above the sea level and put on my spearfishing gear and my harpoon and mask and snorkel and flippers and went in the water and went hunting for lunch, really. And I'd been doing that for about 20 minutes without any success when the visibility just totally disappeared. I couldn't see anything.
What, like a cloud going over the sun or something more dramatic than that?
No, just suddenly the water was filled with dust.
Huh.
But the visibility went from okay to really quite bad. And so I decided to hang up the spearfishing. And when I came up for air and looked around, I realized that I was actually in a ripping current, that I couldn't swim back to where I'd left my boat.
And you were being pulled away from the land at that time?
No, along the shore.
Okay.
It's a cliff face. So it went straight down in the water and straight up above me. So I could swim against the current and hold my position, but I couldn't get around any of the rocks because the currents magnify as they go around rocks. But I was able to climb up onto this, I call it a cliff, but it leaned back a fair bit, and you could get up on it and kind of shuffle your way along above the water, and that's what I had to do.
And was the water going up or down or just moving
just
very
sideways,
quickly?
Just moving very quickly, like a river. And I moved, must have gone back about 50 feet or 100 feet. And I got to a point where I thought I should be able to see my boat, where I'd left it up on a sandy ledge. And it wasn't there. And in fact, I couldn't even find the sandy ledge. At this point, I feel really sick to my stomach. I've just lost a very expensive boat.
This is a fully equipped sea kayak. It's not some
fully
toy,
equipped,
right?
A folding sea kayak, a very, very special skin and skeleton. When you're not using it, it goes into a backpack and you throw it on the airplane, take it with you. So I was feeling very sick, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and I was looking below my feet into a giant whirlpool. I just couldn't figure out what was going on, and it felt very, very bad. And I looked around, and eventually I saw my boat going out to sea, and it was turned upside down. It has a black hull, not easy to spot,
but
I spotted it, and I still have my flippers. And as I said, I lost my harpoon. I still have my flippers. I put them on, I jumped into the whirlpool and swam around the whirlpool and out the far side. And within a few minutes, I'd caught my boat, turned it over and climbed back into it. And my paddle was just shoved under some of the decking. It was still there. I was lucky. And I paddled my way back to that sandy ledge. And once again, it was visible and very, very disorienting because I don't know what's going on. And I really couldn't see this sandy ledge a few minutes before. And I pulled my boat back up to it and realized, and just feeling really insecure, I pulled it up even higher to quite a large cleft in the cliffs, and there was a big driftwood, except it was as big as a tree. It was a fallen hardwood that had been thrown up there in a storm. And I pulled my boat very high up off the water, and in that moment, I did something I don't normally do. I took the bow line from the kayak and I clipped it to this giant drift tree and looked around, and the ocean had gone down really, really low. And it was calm again.
At the time, Larry Whitlow didn't know what was going on. He climbed up a cliff above the water. He pulled his kayak up with him, well above sea level, and lashed it to a large drift tree that was up on shore. But then he looked up, and he saw something he'd never seen before, a single wave that stretched right across the horizon.
It was beautiful. It was just a single soliton, a single wave from horizon to horizon, advancing.
Do you recall the color of the wave in the water at that
time? I recall the sun shining off of it. So it was just the normal color of the water, but it had a beautiful crest. It was a beautiful day.
So it was breaking at the top. There was some white foam at the front
No,
edge.
No, it wasn't that tall. And it was, a soliton, kind of like a bell curve. It wasn't breaking.
Yeah.
And it was only about 6 feet tall. And it just went from surface to surface, from left to right. And I just stood there and watched it. And I watched it come. And it was hypnotic, like a You know, I was like it was like a serpent, but I was hypnotized like a serpent.
And how quickly was it moving towards you?
I couldn't say. It was just, it was a unique phenomenon.
It wasn't roaring in on you or anything.
No,
it was just sort of moving slowly.
I'd never seen anything like that. Huh. It came at a good clip, but not a terrifying clip. And I could see then that one end of this wave began to strike the island that I was on, 500, 800 meters away, and it made a huge splash, and it climbed up the side of the mountain, the side of the cliffs. And I said to myself, it's not going to hit me.
Were you high enough up on the shoreline so you could see over the wave? Could you
see
if there were waves coming behind
it? Yes. I was at least 15 feet above the water, and this right. wave was just, it was a single solid wave,
okay.
and it was only about 6 feet high. But what I couldn't see is that it was a 6 foot sea change. So it was like a little avalanche coming at me, 6 feet avalanche of water.
Well, the ocean didn't drop down behind the wave. It was this 6 foot high wall of water coming towards you.
Yeah, that's right. Huh. At least that's how I figure it. There's so much energy in that little wave. And of course, I didn't do anything. I just stood there and watched it. And so I have some real understanding of friends who were killed by these waves. And I understand how you could just stand there and watch it come. And this explosion of water where the wave met the island raced towards me at very high speed. And I just said several times, it's not going to hit me. And of course it did. It hit the island. It had a tremendous amount of energy and momentum. It climbed straight up the cliff. It went over this drift tree, and it went under the drift tree, and it grabbed my boat and picked my boat up. It hit me. The boat hit me. I somehow was able to hold on to my footing and hold on to the rocks. And then all the water, the splash was over, and it was like being hit by a massive, massive bucket of water. And of course, I'd have lost my boat again if I hadn't tied it. And that drift tree hadn't moved, hadn't budged.
And the height of the ocean, had it changed when that wave had come?
Now the ocean was much higher, and it was just a massive turmoil, and the whirlpools were there again. And there was a tremendous amount of garbage in motion on the ocean. Every bit of plastic, every shampoo bottle, every toothpaste tube, anything that had been thrown in the ocean for the last 100 years was now just in a churn. Flip-flops, plastic bags, everything.
Was there any noise, Larry? Could you hear anything?
No. I don't remember any special sounds at all.
Yeah.
And now I'm really quite shaken by that, by this experience. I thought, okay, I better head back to my bungalow, to the beach, to humanity.
At this point, Larry Whitlow untied his boat and headed back toward the bungalow, still unaware that it was not safe to go back in the sea. And I'll talk with him about what happened next in just a moment. I'm Dick Gordon from American Public Media. This is The Story.